144. 144. Amazing grace. My chains are gone. 144. How about let's stand as we sing this one, okay? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy brings unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine. You are forever mine. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Good morning. Good to see everyone. It's a beautiful day, a little brisk with that wind out there, but this is the place we are supposed to be, here in His presence, the presence of the Lord. So, and it's an exciting day. This morning, worship service, the junior choir is going to sing for us. I just have to say, as I come up here right before the praise songs, I found these, so moms of junior choir, you better listen up. If your daughter is maybe missing two buttons, they were laying right there, So I don't know if the young lady was just so nervous she twisted those buttons right off or what, but I got them up here. Okay, so back to the announcements. Tonight is youth rally. We've been praying for this for some couple months for sure, and it's here. We're excited about it. 6:30 this evening, our high school youth, as they should know, they're supposed to be here by 6. Everybody's invited, all ages, and we call it a youth rally because that's who it's geared towards. So we've had, this is our third time, we've had great turnouts the last 2 years, and we trust tonight will be the same. There will be bars or cookies and root beer floats afterwards tonight too. So keep that in mind. We hope you can join us. Christian Education Committee, we meet after church today. So let's see, where are you, Mark? Are you here? We're going to be in there, you suppose? Consistory room? All right. Also after church is coffee hour in the social hall. So hope you can join us for that. Stay. There's lots of goodies, and that's how we get to know one another, right? Sit by somebody you don't know and get acquainted. Today, so this is for children, kindergarten through eighth grade. The parts for the Christmas Eve program should have been handed out today during Sunday school. So parents, make sure you know that. Make sure that your children and youth have that. And so we give them out today, so you work with them on it before we start program practices. 2 weeks from today, we start Christmas program practice, okay? So it's not they're supposed to learn it when they get here. They're supposed to try to have it learned before they get here. It just makes everything go much better. This year for Christmas Eve, there is a little bit of a change, though. The three-year-old and preschool, so that's Denise Hondel's class, they do not have to be at program practice those first three Sundays in the afternoon. Probably some of the moms were like, I wish that would have been when I had a three-year-old, because it just gets long for that age. They'll be singing a couple songs still in the program that night, but they're working on those, I think, on Sunday mornings, right? And then the fourth program practice, the 18th of December, this is all in the bulletin, but just so you know, 9 o'clock we practice that fourth Sunday, and then they are to be here that day. Okay? Hopefully that's clear for you. There's sign-up sheets for the lunches. Through the first three Sundays, we serve the kids and the teachers lunch before practice. That's right after church. So there's sign-up sheets. They're by the soup kitchen, stuff out there. So please, look at that. It's lunch for your kiddos or grandkids, however you're able to help. Operation Christmas Child, the shoeboxes. Today's supposed to be the last day. I think Jennifer's going to take those down to Yankton this week. So if you're like, oh, I had it at home and forgot, then maybe let her know. Bring it tonight or something, okay? I have two addresses for those in the military. That's like those that are full-time in the military. Logan Schmidt, Travis Gramco. I know we have others. If you would like your child's name or grandchild's name to be in there, then let us know and we'll get that in there. Maybe you'll send them a card or something special, a gift pack of snacks, whatever it might be. They always enjoy those things. Also, Anne has an announcement here for the women.
So we just want to invite you to the ladies to the 4-0s. We're doing it this Wednesday, and we're going to first go to Rooster's and have lunch because, you know, we like to eat. But then we're going to come back to the church, and we're going to decorate placemats for the care center folks. So if you'd like to join us, Wednesday, 11:30. If you don't want to go to lunch, just come on over about, 12:30, 12:15-ish. And you can help us make these crafts. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ann. Lastly, just the POW MIA remembrance. There's a display in the social hall there. We had it last Sunday. As Friday was Veterans Day, and it's up there today. So let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, we worship you with all of our hearts as we sang, spirit, soul, and body, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, we give you our highest praise. And we ask, Father, for the Holy Spirit of God to help us in that, in praising your name, Jesus, for you have been given the name that is above every name. And your word says that it is at the name of Jesus that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so we do bow our hearts and our knees and our lives to you. Lord, this day we present our bodies to you as living sacrifices and ask for you to fill us with the Holy Spirit of God and fill us afresh that as we leave from this place and go out into the world in which we live and our workplaces, that you would speak through us and shine through us in mighty, mighty ways. Lord, thank you for your power and your presence here today, moving among us. You know what the needs are. Maybe there are some with heavy hearts and great struggles, and we just ask that you lift them up. As we sang, we put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There are some who are in need of healing in their physical bodies, and we ask for your power to work in that way. Whatever the needs are, Lord, you know. And we thank you, for you are greater than all, and our eyes are fixed upon you. In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord God Almighty. In your name we pray, amen. Our opening hymn is number 370. 370, if you stand together, we'll sing that. Rejoice, the Lord is King. Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing, and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. Jesus the Savior reigns, the God of truth and love. When he had purged our stains, he took his seat above. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. His kingdom cannot fail, he rules o'er earth and heaven. The keys of death and hell are to our Jesus given. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in glorious hope, our Lord the Judge shall come and take his servants up to their eternal home. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. And we have so much to rejoice in. That part of that third verse, the keys of death and hell are to our Jesus given. Yes, he has all authority in heaven and on earth, and he works and lives through us. Well, take a moment, greet those around you before you're seated. I'm getting there. About what? Okay. Joys and concerns here. I have a couple things down, and then I think there's something up front here with the junior choir. First of all, though, today is Elton Herbold's 92nd birthday, and he's right back there. Happy birthday, Elton. He had sort of a tough winter last year, but I tell you, I think he was golfing every day this summer. I don't know if he got a hole in one yet, but he is a golfer, so praise the Lord. Happy birthday, Elton. And Myrna's is coming up soon, and in about just over a week, God willing, they'll be celebrating their 71st wedding anniversary. Isn't that something? Yeah. Amen. That's coming up on the 22nd of November. So God bless you. Some other things. Continued prayers for Marvin Gehring. He had tests this week. They've seen some spots on his spleen. They did biopsies. That was Wednesday. He had an MRI, complete MRI. The not so great news about that is they found spots on his bone and the lower back. So, and they have found spots on his liver. So just lots of prayers for Marvin. He has appointments tomorrow and Tuesday, follow-up appointments to see what the plan is here. So also, I had word today that Vernon, right? Where are you, Kenny and Ramona? Do I have that? Vernon Handel. I didn't write it down, so. Vernon Handel, that'd be Milton Handel's brother who lived in San Antonio, Texas. He was in the Air Force Academy and the Air Force for a lot of his years. He passed away yesterday down in San Antonio, or at least that area. He was 80 years old. So I guess he'd be a cousin probably to Ramona, right? And maybe some others in here as well. But prayers for the family. Also, just continued prayers for Ken Winterstein. And he's in that cancer battle. And Katie Huber's mom, Jan Nebelsek. And anything you want me to share, Dave? With yeah, prayers for Lonnie Herbolt. This would be Dave's brother. He's had a cancer diagnosis as well recently. Okay, Ivana, what did you have to say? It is Ronald Schaefer's birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Ronald. God bless you. Okay, anybody else over here? Carrie Dyke. Okay. All right, prayers for Anna Beth Dyke. She is not feeling well and is home, and she asked for prayers today. Yeah, we will. And by the way, big thanks to Alan and Carrie. They coordinate our coffee hours, so thanks for all you guys do in that. Okay, here. Okay. All right, let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for birthdays, certainly Elton's today, 92 years, you've blessed him with, and thank you for the good health that you continue to give him, and Ron's tomorrow, and maybe others that were not mentioned, but we just lift all these to you, and thank you for your goodness in their lives. Lord, we pray for Marvin Gehring, certainly with, and Lonnie Herbolt, Ken Winterstein, Jan Nebelsek, these, and there's some others that are not named here, that but you know their names, that are in our midst, who are in the same battle and going through treatments and various things. Lord, we look to you always, and we look to you first, for your power is truly greater than all, and you are our healer, Jesus. And we thank you for the work that you do through medical science and even other ways, for healing our bodies, but yet your power, we thank you by faith as it works mightily in each of these individuals and others listed in our bulletin who have struggles in various ways. Bill Headley, as he continues through dialysis 3 times a week, and just bless him with strength, and Judy too as his caregiver, and many others that we lift up, Lord. We thank you for Randy Whale, who was able to come home and is home at but on oxygen with after his heart issues and even a heart attack, the way it sounds down there in Nebraska. But we just pray for Randy, your healing throughout his system as you renew his strength. We pray for little baby Emerson Peterson, George and Caroline Peterson's little one that had RSV, that we thank you that she was able to come home from the hospital and is doing much better. We pray for our little great niece Ember, who's just 2 weeks old and in the hospital with RSV over in Iowa. And Lord, lots of other little ones. For Annabeth, as she's home with a bug too, we ask for healing to her body. And probably many others that weren't mentioned. We lift them to you, Lord Jesus. Father, we you know our need for moisture. On one hand, we say thank you that we didn't get what the ice and the blizzard that other parts of our state got. And we trust that things would warm up, that you'd bless us with moisture, good moisture, Lord, here before things really freeze up. We know you are sovereign over all, and you provide in many different ways, but we lift that up to you, and we thank you for it. For our nation, we thank you as we've come through a week of elections, Lord, as new ones come into office in January. We just pray for all levels, starting at the federal government. Lord, we stand upon your word in Proverbs that says, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and you turn it whithersoever way you will, even as you turn the rivers of water. So, Father, we trust you in that, that whether they know you or whether they don't, you are able to work your plan and your will for our nation. And we need help. We need revival. We need healing, and we thank you again by faith together for you working behind the scenes in so many ways that we are not even aware of. For our troops, Lord, actively serving around the world, we pray for them and we thank you for them. We ask that you watch over them all and keep them safe. For our veterans, as Friday was their special day, we thank you for them, the many of them that are a part of this congregation. Thank you for their service. We love you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 119, verses 54 through 56. This is from the New Living Translation. I just like how it says here. Your principles, O Lord, that's his word, have been the music of my life through the years of my pilgrimage. I reflect on who you are, O Lord, and I obey your law because of this. This is my happy way of life, obeying your commandments. And that's what we're going to see today as we work through Psalm 19. Now, where it says, I reflect on who you are, O Lord, through the night. One translation said that, through the night. So, you know, challenged you last week with trying to memorize that Psalm 19, 7, 8, and 9. And so, verse 7, I got down pretty good. Verse 8, you know, I'm working on it. And the other night, I was dreaming about all that. And I could not get verse 8 in that dream. Couldn't get it. Finally, I woke up and was like, that's enough. All right, that's enough. So, back to sleep. Let's stand. We'll sing the doxology, please. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And Father, we do praise you for your goodness, for your word. Lord, it is the song of our hearts and of our lives all through our journey. We love to sing your word, to sing your praises. And so we love to give to you as well. The first fruits of our increase we bring into your storehouse because you are our provider. Faithfully, Lord, you do. And as Paul said, I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. Whether it is in very slim times or whether it is in times of plenty, He said, I have learned the secret. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And help us, Lord, if we haven't yet, to learn that secret as well, because you are faithful. And so we thank you for multiplying these gifts for the work of your kingdom, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. We'll have the children come first for the Kingdom Kids time, and then we'll have the junior choir. Let's see, is Johnny going to help? Or somebody? Ben is. Okay. Didn't know who she asked.
Just in the middle of the microphones, I'd say. No, I'm not going to, because it's this. Oops. This is too high. I'm going to show you. It's a little tall, though. I hope they can see it. Okay, it just takes a second to get us together here. Thank you. This is in case I spill the water. Thank you. Well, good morning, boys and girls. Good morning. How are you today? Good. Whoops, there it is. Well, today we're going to be talking about obeying, following rules. What does obey mean? You listen. Good. If you're driving and it's a stoplight, you have to stop. Anybody else over there? Yeah. You listen to your parents. How about, okay, at home. So at home, you listen to your parents. What are some other rules you have to obey at home? Clean up your room when you're told. At home. Eat what you're told? That's a good one, huh? Eat what you're told.
You ready? If the parent says it's not lunchtime,
you listen. You listen, right. And you go play if you're supposed to play. That's a good one, too. Do you have one, Callie? What? Do the dishes. How about at school? What do you have to obey at school, Lincoln? Do you have to listen, right? And do you have to walk in the hallways? Yeah, and be kind to each other, be respectful. When the teacher tells you to go to the bathroom, right? Because when you get outside, guess what you have to do sometimes? Go to the bathroom. Okay, two more. Yes. Pay attention. Okay, you did some already. You guys did too. Okay, so those are all rules that we have. And you know that we have these rules because parents and teachers love you. And they care for you? Yeah, it's true. That's why we have these rules. Do you know that parents and adults have rules too? Do you know that we have rules we have to obey? Like somebody already mentioned, if you're driving a car and the stoplight turns red, what do you have to do?
Stop.
What can happen if you don't obey that? Yeah, but what if you don't? You could have an accident. You could hurt somebody. You could get a ticket. Just like there's speed limits, right? And those that drive, we have to obey those.
If you do too much, you're going to go to jail.
You could. If you do too many wrong things, you could go to jail if it's against the law. At our jobs, we have to be at work on time. We just can't ever do whatever we want. We have rules all the time. Do you know what, too? God has rules. Do you know that? He has rules, and he wants us to obey them. You know, the Bible tells us exactly how God wants us to live. And it's because he loves us. He loves us. But it's not always easy to make the right choices, is it? There's bad choices that we make sometimes, and there's good choices. So, yeah, I'm going to show you. So when we make bad choices, That could be things that we talked about, like you're not listening, you're not obeying, you're not following the rules. Or we can make the good choices, like we said. But you know what? Doing this on our own is not always easy. We can't always make the right choices when we're just trying it in ourselves. So this represents us. This jar here represents us. And this is how it is sometimes when we try to make good choices all on our own. We end up making, what does that say? Bad choices sometimes when we try to do it by ourselves. But when we are filled, whoopsie, that's why I got that up there, with the Holy Spirit. When you ask Jesus to come into your life, guess what? You get filled with the Holy Spirit. He comes in us and fills us. But then we have to ask him to help us, because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman and he doesn't push his way into our life. He wants us to help him. Help us, I mean, to make the right decisions. So when we do it on our own, we make the wrong decisions, the bad choices. But when we ask the Holy Spirit to help us, guess what we're going to make now? See if you... Can you see? Where's the arrow? It went to what? The good choices. Okay, over there, you guys see this? Okay. When we ask, when we do it on our own, sometimes we make bad choices. But when we ask the Holy Spirit to help us, watch the arrow. Do you see it? I will. Is it changing? Where did it go now? To the good choices, because that's what the Holy Spirit does to us. Okay, you all over there. When we try on our own, we sometimes make bad choices. But when we ask the Holy Spirit to help us, those bad choices turn into... good choices. Isn't that pretty amazing? That took us a long time to practice that. So we need to, well, it's just kind of the water and the reflection, and it changes it, the arrow from the bad to the good. All right. Anyway, so when we have, when we go through things this week, when we're not sure what to do to make a good choice, we need to ask who to help us? God. And he's the Holy Spirit living inside of us. All right? So you be sure to ask, and I'll be sure to ask for his help too. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful that you don't leave us in this world to make up, to make decisions on our own, Father, to try to be good on our own. No, you give us the Holy Spirit to help us, and we have to ask him. So help us as boys and girls and adults to remember to ask for help. Help us to make good decisions. And I ask you to bless these boys and girls wherever they go this week. Help them to be a light to you, to show others your love for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can get your papers over here this time. Okay.
Okay, thank you, Anne. Once the kids get down, then we'll have... Whoops, got a little one under there. Clear? Yeah, thank you. Okay, then we'll have the junior choir. They're going to sing for us, and Marina Schaefer directs and Jennifer Herbolt plays. We got Fred Seiler on the drums, I think. Is he back there? Oh, there he is. All right. Good job, kids. Wasn't that great? That's a neat song. Thank you, Marina, Jennifer, for all your work with them, Fred, and fourth through eighth graders. Way to sing. I have to tell you, it was a surprise to me, but that is one of my mother's favorite songs. Serious. She's 85, never grew up with that kind of music. But anytime we're there together as a family, she always says, Michael, will you play Days of Elijah? So we all sing it, and everybody does the actions. My mom doesn't, but I said, Mom, do you want that for your funeral or what? She says, maybe. It's a neat song. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the kids. The junior choir singing up here your praises. Behold, he comes. And Jesus, what a glorious day that will be as you come on the clouds in all of your glory to take your church out of here first, the rapture. And then your second coming. We look forward to those days with excitement and anticipation. Thank you for the little ones all up here just before that in the Kingdom Kids time. Lord, we thank you for all the families, from newborn babies up to 92 years old, they're here today, and 101, I believe, within the congregation as far as age-wise, and everywhere in between. We are the body of Christ. We're your body. Help us to live together and walk together and love one towards each other. Help us, Lord, to grow in your word always, for your word is our life, our very life. Lord, I ask that you would speak through me this morning once again to those gathered here by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. For as the scriptures say, your word is not bound. It is not, but it goes forth in power and demonstration, working in all of our lives. And we ask it to do that very thing. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in Psalm 19, starting in verse 7. I'm going to read there to the end of the chapter. We were there last Sunday. Today, next Sunday, we will be there. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Psalm 19, quite an amazing psalm here. Those 7, 8, 9 verses, and even beyond, but those three are what we're focusing on. Speaking of what we call the sufficiency of Scripture. Sufficiency means it's more than enough. God's word is more than enough to work in our lives for every trial we face, for every joy that we have, for every word of wisdom that we need and direction as we live on this earth. His word is sufficient. It seems today, and it's always been, but maybe it seems at times it rises and settles, but the confusion in our culture today. There is so much confusion about what is right and what is wrong, and there really shouldn't be. Some people even say there's no such thing as right or wrong in this day. It's whatever you want. Some use the phrase, I hear it often, maybe on the news, different places. Well, what is your truth? Well, what is your truth? Oh, well, my truth is da-da-da-da-da. Oh, my truth is such and such. and then you got just a mixed up mess. Because God's word is absolute truth. His word is our guide. If we'd go back, you don't have to do this now, I'm just giving an example, to the book of Judges, we find Israel in a place of apathy and really apostasy over these 350 years of the period of the judges. Yeah, they'd sort of have a good judge come up and bring the people back to the Lord, and he would die and they'd fall away. And then another good one eventually would rise up and they'd follow the Lord. It was just that constantly. But in the book of Judges, two times we see this phrase. It said, in those days, Israel had no king. So, because this was before Saul, Saul was the first king of Israel, then David, then Solomon, and then on it goes. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And that leads to a mess. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Seven times, we see this phrase in the book of Judges. Then all the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and they served the Baals, the false gods, doing what was right in their own eyes. It does not work. Just like Anne talked about rules and laws with the kids, and they all knew about it and gave many examples in the natural sense. And so spiritually, as I said last Sunday, we have laws. We have God's law to guide and direct us every step of the way. So in this Psalm 19, verses 7, 8, and 9, we see this. There's six titles given for Scripture. There are six characteristics given for Scripture, for God's Word. There are six benefits of reading and knowing and following God's Word that are given. And then six times we see the phrase of the Lord. The law of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the commands of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, and on it goes. Of the Lord, telling us clearly, in case we don't get it, this is God's word. Inspired, as 2 Timothy says, all Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, all Scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. All of it inspired. It wasn't man's idea. It wasn't David's idea. Oh, I think I'm just going to write part of the Bible. No, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, carried along. And so, last Sunday we looked at verse 7. I'll just go through that in real short because I have to get on to today. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Reviving means transforming, refreshing, restoring. Reviving the soul even speaks of our new birth, knowing Christ as Lord and Savior. That was number one. Second one, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. You can rely on God's word. They are trustworthy, making wise the simple. I'm not going to go through the example I used about my two senior boys again this Sunday, but making wise the simple. So we grow. We're always growing in maturity, making wise. That's what that's speaking about, maturing in the Lord. So today, let's go on. Verse 8, that's where we'll be on. Verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. So, what's the title of God's word here? Precepts. Well, what does precept mean? I have this in your outline. It's talking about the doctrines of Scripture, principles, the guidelines of Scripture. We have to have guidelines. Along on the roads, on highways even, especially where there's the interstate or wherever, if there's a deep ravine or cliff coming off, there's always the guardrail, isn't there? To keep us from ending up in that big ditch and hurting ourselves. The precepts, there are detailed rules that God gives us in every area of life, through the Old Testament, through the New Testament. Our lives, as I said last week, they come with an instruction manual. And again, right here it is. This is God's instruction manual of how we are to live on this earth. The characteristic, the word is right. If you're filling in the blanks, the precepts of the Lord are right. What does that mean? They are straight, upright, pleasing. In the Hebrew, if you're filling in the blank there, it means that word right, the precepts of the Lord are right. It means they set out a straight path for us to follow, a true path. I was thinking about that. Get this first of all. When some of you like to bike ride, and maybe you go up on the bike trails there along the Big Sioux River. We used to do it more when Rachel was younger, and we'd go with Mark and Carmen, and their kids were young. And there's the path that the city, the Department of Parks Recreation, has made, right? And then there's always paths that people think they have to make, going off there, and through trees, and narrow, and down close to the water. One time, this was several years back, again, when Mark's kids were little, and they had a friend along with either Keegan or Cale, one of their friends, and they were biking, and this little guy was determined he was going off on that dirt path through the trees. And guess what? He ended up in the Big Sioux River, and they had to pull him out. So isn't it just about how we are as people in our fallen nature? God gives us the path to follow, the directions from His Word, and we see it over and over again throughout Scripture. We can look at our own lives and all think of many examples where, you know what, I'm going to just do this my own way. I'm going to do it my own way. And we end up in a mess, don't we? The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. They set out a straight path. Listen to this verse. Psalms 119, by the way, is all about God's word also, and it closely compares to these three verses. I'm going to read a couple. Psalms 119, verse 127, 128. Because I love your commands more than gold, more than pure gold, and because I consider all your precepts to be right, there it is, I hate every wrong path. Not just the Big Sioux River. You know, we were out the end of October to the Black Hills. We had some extra time, and the one morning we went to, well, we were in Spearfish Canyon, so we go to Rough Lock Falls, and same deal there. You got the main path they have made, and then you got all these little trails that where people want to go, and then the game, fish, and parks, whoever, have to put up caution tape. Stay out of this area. That's how we are. We need a straight line. And that's, the characteristic. If you're going to do it, this I had to borrow. You know, if any of you know me, my tools are very limited. So, I had to borrow this deal, an adjustable tri-square. So, I'm not going to adjust it up and down, but all you that build stuff and carpenter and that, if you're going to cut a piece of sheetrock or something, you lay it on there, you lay it on that edge where you want it, and if the sheetrock comes down, you know, you keep that and you got your straight line. We have to have that naturally as we're building things and making things, this 90-degree angle, but this adjusts to all different angles. But we've got to have the straight line to guide us. And that is God's word. The precepts of the Lord are right. And when we follow it as best as we can, things go better. They just go better. But as I said in the intro here, and as it was in the time of the judges, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. I don't need the straight line. I don't care. I don't care what God's word says about the situation. I'm going to live how I want to live. That's a big attitude of a lot of people. I don't care. That's ancient. That's archaic. No, this is alive and full of power. It is God's word. Always was, always is, always will be appropriate and applicable for every age that has ever been. That's the amazing thing about God's word. And so what's the benefit of that in verse 8? Giving joy to the heart. The precepts of the Lord are right. Say that after me. The precepts of the Lord are right. Giving joy to the heart. Yeah. That straight line is for a reason. That stoplight is for a reason. Whatever the laws in the natural realm that we deal with. Joy. Giving joy to the heart. Jesus said this in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 28. He said, happy are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Joy. That's joy. Happy. That was at a time when he had been teaching and a woman from the crowd shouts out, it probably interrupts him and says, blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. Just hollers it out. Hey, Jesus. Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. And you know what Jesus answered back? He said, no. Blessed is the one who hears my word and obeys it. That was his answer to that statement right there. Walking in obedience brings joy. Now, what about joy? There's a definition I learned. I was probably way back in seminary, but I have loved it so much all these years. I've probably read it. It's been a long time. But this is a definition of joy. Joy is that deep-seated sense of well-being which no outside circumstance can alter. Talking about the joy of the Lord, right? It is not just happiness, which is an outward expression of pleasure. Happiness is a superficial emotion dependent upon our current situation or circumstance, and it is. We all know that. We can be happy, and something happens, and yeah. But joy is not that way. It goes on. It says, joy is that deep, abiding assurance that come what may, God is still on his throne. Amen? God is still on the throne, and therefore we will emerge victorious from every fiery trial. Joy is not something we have to work up. That would be like happiness. It's something we rest in. We rest in the joy of the Lord. And sometimes, sometimes that's with tears. Yeah, sometimes it is. Psalm 119, here's another verse, verse 54, with God's word. Your principles, your precepts have been the music of my life throughout the years of my pilgrimage. That's out of the New Living. Psalms 119, verse 54. Your principles, your word, have been the music of my life throughout the years of my pilgrimage. Now, for those who like music, as I do, I think that's a pretty cool verse, isn't it? We sing the hymn, wonderful words of life. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words, beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Yeah, they've been the music of my life. I reflect at night on who you are, O Lord, and I obey your law because of this. This is my happy way of life, obeying your commandments. So, giving joy to the heart. With joy comes peace. I think that's the benefit of that. I was thinking back, too, several years back when a lot of the men here were mentoring guys that were coming out of Springfield. And we were each assigned to different ones, and I had a young man named David, and the neatest guy. I really, really enjoyed him. He was released up in Sioux Falls. So you probably know in the midst of it, I'd tell you stories back in those years, trying to help him. But the one thing is we'd be going around Sioux Falls here and there as I took him to whatever needs he had, just say it that way. He would catch a cop, policeman, I mean, bam, that fast. Before ever I would see that police car, he had saw that and he was sliding down in that front seat. I'm like, what are you doing? I see that police car over there. I'm like, so? No, he made me way nervous. I don't want him to see me. He just slipped way down in that front seat. And I'm like, David, look, if you do what's right, you follow God and his word, they are here for our benefit. They are here for our help. God's word says that. You don't have to be scared of them. I know, but you don't understand. And so there was no joy there. There was great anxiety. Now, over time with him, and not that I was with him all the time by any means, because I wasn't, but as he got his job and got his feet on track and following God as best as he could, you know, that lessened. I've sort of lost track of him now, but they bring joy to the heart. All right, letter D, the next one here. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Commands, that's the fourth title of Scripture. Commands, well, we should know that. The commandments, right? The Ten Commandments, clear for us to see. They are authoritative. They are binding. They are not optional. They are not suggestions. As you've probably heard, they're not the Ten Suggestions. No, they're the Ten Commandments that we try our best to follow. What's the characteristic? They are radiant. Wow. Radiant. They are clear. Clear to see. They are pure. They are bright. They are easy to see. They enlighten the darkness. And that would be in contrast to the muddled, unclear, dark choices of the fallen world in which we live in. I'm thinking of an example, not from here, not in South Dakota. I always have people try to guess. I know who you're talking about. Well, this time you don't. Trust me, you don't. So don't tell me. Sometimes, you know, it's this husband and wife and their children, and our heart just aches for the situation. They don't have God in their life. As we try to talk to them about that, they are not receptive, and the life is just a muddy mess. And we feel so bad, and we pray for them daily, daily, for God to break through, for God to send someone to them, a strong believer, to help them, to get them on the right track. But it can be a mess, and God's commands, like it says, they are radiant. They shine light on the path. Your word, Psalm 119 again, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light for my path. Psalm 119, verse 130, listen to this one. The unfolding of your word, that's what we're doing this morning, right now. I'm unfolding God's word to you during this sermon time. The unfolding of your word, Lord, gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. The benefit, of course, giving light to the eyes. It does. It's no fun being lost. I'm talking naturally. It's no fun being lost spiritually, for sure. But naturally, it is not fun. If you've ever been lost in a big city, and you end up in a part of that big city you don't want to be in, that is not fun. Now, it should be easier in this day of GPS and Google Maps and all that. And it doesn't have to even be that big of a city. Tuesday night, we went up to Madison to see Gracie. You make the sermon two Sundays in a row. Well, I guess you didn't make the sermon. You made the joys and concerns. So for her volleyball match, they made the Sweet 16. So I confirmed her. Maybe not all you know that, but I did. So we go up there. That was that night. Of course, it's dark. Time change. It's raining up there. So we got the Google Maps on because I don't know where the high school is in Madison. No clue. And so the wonderful Google Maps, that is not always perfect, is it? God's word is. Google Maps is not. Take this, we're going, okay, we thought, we're going to be there about 15 minutes early at least, and because I thought it was an hour, it's an hour and 20, so I'm pushing it, and turn right onto whatever 9th Street. We get to there, totally under construction. So there was a Suburban in front of us, obviously following the same Google Maps. So you know how Google Maps, please go to blah, 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 and turn left. And so we're following the one in front. Same deal, we're going through this residential neighborhood. We get back right where we were. Tells us the very same thing. I'm like, we can't go that way. Talking to her, you know. Then we go south. And we think we're supposed to be going east, and this is wanting us to go west. So we go a little way, same thing, doggone it. And we're just, you know, you get frustrated when you're off the path, don't you? When you are lost, you get frustrated. So finally, that we're still following this guy, so I'm sure they're going the same place, and they're as lost as we are. We start going east, though, and I, by this time, I say, forget this. Google Maps. They don't have a clue. Oh, is it there? No, I don't think. Is it there? The Suburban turns off there. I'm like, I'm not turning off there. That's residential. Let's keep going. And just finally we found it and got in there. Unfortunately, they lost. But they had a good season. You had a very good season, Gracie. They give light to the eyes. God's word does that for us. That's the benefit of it right there. All of these things, trying to find our own way through this life without God's word directing us, is the same way as what I was just telling you that night. So were we lost for very long? 10 minutes, I suppose. But when you're trying to get there and the match is starting at, whatever time was it, 7:30, and you know the clock's coming, it's like, duh, right? Not following the roadmap here is going to be just as frustrating. Now, do we perfectly? Of course not. We can't because we are still sinful. Even though we're born again, even though we are the righteousness of God in Christ, we still have the nature of the flesh to struggle against all the time. Sometimes we get off, just like the dirt path down by the Big Sioux River. Sometimes we get in the muck and the mud and, Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry. Okay, get back on the main path. That's why it's designed, and we go from there. So, one more verse, Proverbs 6:23, it says this, these commands in this teaching, they are a lamp to light the way ahead of you. The correction of discipline is the way to life. So many verses that say that. Psalms 37, commit your way to the Lord. It's committed to Him. I know someone just recently in a tough situation in relationship, I'll just say that. I was talking to the person. They said to me, you know what? I just finally said, Lord, I can't fix this. I give it to you. I cannot fix it. And God straightened out that. Not that the whole thing was fixed, but He straightened out part of it. So He does. All right, say this all after me, all four. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the very living word of God. It is truly incredible. And we thank you for the day in which we live, that we have it available to us in every way we can even imagine. And help us to take advantage of that as we go through the week, feeding upon your word, thinking on it, studying it, meditating it. And thank you for directing us by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you for forgiving us, for when we've gotten off track, you always bring us back, Lord. A saying that I heard some time ago, no matter how far any one of us ever has gone away from your cross, it is always only one step back, for your mercies are new every morning. Thank you for everyone here today, blessing our lives and guiding us in all the decisions that we face, which are many. In Jesus' name, we love you and we trust you. Amen. Amen. And so that'll be our closing hymn, Only Trust Him. Only Trust Him. It's number 480 in your hymnals. We'll stand together as we sing this. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only. only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Amen. And so He does, as we trust in Him. Please receive the benediction, and now may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. We'll sing as a prayer again for our nation. God bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the oceans, white God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. Amen. I love it when the children just sing that out. You may be seated. Thank you, Cheryl, for the beautiful music. Have a wonderful day. Remember, coffee hour, youth rally tonight at 6:30.